Welcome to season two of Young Valley Leaders, where we feature the upcoming movers and shakers in your backyard and our community. I'm your host, Lewis Holzman, and today I'm here with Charbel Vistakji.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Appreciate you coming in, man, taking the time. Just saw you this morning at your shop. I know that you're taking time out of your day here to make sure that we're giving the good news around not just the business here, but what you're doing to be able to bring that forward here in the community, doing something a little bit different than your peers, being able to establish a business, work with your family, work with some friends, but also bring a needed element into our downtown community that's been absent for years, you know, in the 70s and the 80s, it was known to go downtown and to go shopping and find a jewelry store, find your photography, find your retail outlets. And over the past decade, that's what really only started to come back, and we're starting to see that blossom a little bit. And you're now a big part of that. Opening and owning and operating Levant Jewelers. So we're excited to dig in, learn a little bit more about yourself, your background, the jewelry business, and what it's like being a small business owner in Allentown. So thanks for taking the time and coming in today.
Of course, man. I'm really excited and I'm happy to be here.
Let's just dive right in on a little bit of the background. I mean, you're from Allentown originally. You and I actually have some similar paths, although certainly different walks. You're from the east side, I'm from the west end. You were able to carve out an opportunity to identify opening up a business in your hometown, doing it with some of your family. And then, you know, we actually even have the same birthday.
We do.
That's pretty incredible, Pisces season. I got a chance to meet you a little over a year ago at your grand opening. I've just been really intrigued with your overall story. What pushed you into opening up a business? If you could just talk about that a little bit. Tell us more about Levant Jewelers. Tell us a little bit about the jewelry business and how that came to be.
Yeah, so when we moved here in 2006, my dad started working as a jeweler again. Back home in Syria, he was always a jeweler. And the goal was always for one of his children to follow into his footsteps. I think growing up, I really never thought jewelry would be my career. I always saw it as like the Zales or K's, corporate, very transactional and stale style. Until I saw the potential jewelry had. So I saw like a lot of the hip hop style or like the really cool custom engagement rings, the custom designs that customers would relate to and feel like it would be personal with them. And I just wanted to follow into the footsteps, but also carve out a different role and like grow on top of it. Going to Penn State University, I graduated at the Lehigh Valley campus, and I worked at Philly Executives as a marketing representative. And then COVID happened and everybody was just like, everything was closed. So that's when my entrepreneurial mindset started. I had a little couple businesses, didn't work out. Some did, some stopped. And then I started working at my uncle's shop in Secaucus. And he really showed me the behind the scenes of jewelry. And I saw the potential it had. And I saw the different creativity that you could do with jewelry. So that's really what intrigued me and shifted my mindset. So I wanted to do something on my own. He taught me the ropes and he said, Charbel, you're ready to go.
Starts and stops. You talked about businesses you started beforehand or ideas and your entrepreneurial spirit to push you into now what it has turned into Levant Jewelers. Such a critical path for any entrepreneur. You know, you start to see some success in the business that you're working in. And the people around you may see that. The community may see, you know, your open doors, but they don't see kind of the skeletons in the closet that they helped get you there. And take a lot of those learnings. And now looking back, I mean, a little over a year in business, but you've done some significant things just from, you know, your website, some of your social media. I see NBA stars. I see some rap stars. I see some like notable prominent figures in not even just in our region, but across the country that have found you and Levant Jewelers. So when you talk about custom and learning the business and being able to extract yourself and differentiate from the Zales and the K Jewelers and things like that, how did you get that jump start? Like, what pushed you into being able to realize that potential so quickly?
So I never wanted to be the boring sales rep that's taking you through like the catalog, making you select which piece do you like, that stock. And I always wanted to create something custom every single time. When I started actually creating some of these pieces, it got a lot of attention. One of the pieces that I created was for Tyrese Martin, one of the TM pendants that he wears for his game days. That got a lot of attention. our marketing started taking off. We had some people reach out on Instagram. We had customers coming in from Miami, from Jersey, from New York. They saw our page and they said, hey, you have really good, nice reviews. We'd love to work with you. It's basically a lot about building trust and word of mouth. I tell a lot of my customers, a lot of it isn't about margins for us right now. It's just word of mouth, spreading the good word around. We're just trying to grow in every way. So we, even if it's like a simple pinky ring to a huge pendant, we treat everyone the same and we're just happy doing it, honestly.
I took down some notes when I looked at some of your reviews and some of the experiences I've had myself and some of other community members that have worked with you. Family, quality, luxury, industry expertise, customer-centric, reasonable, trustworthy, all different adjectives and verbs that I started to really kind of think about as it came across with the La Vaughn brand. How do you get there? What was so critical from whether it's your dad or your uncle, current involvement or just the learnings that you had in Secaucus that enabled you to take that spin into the current elements of the business?
So I think a lot of it had to do with my core values. When you think about jewelry, those keywords are like very important for any business owner to have or for customers to feel that trust. It comes down to my belief in like treating everyone fairly. My experience in Secaucus, he has a really busy store, so something that I would have trained at like a corporate business would have taken me years and years to kind of gain that experience as opposed to what I learned in a couple years with him. I genuinely appreciate that experience, and I think it just helped me grow year by year and gain the trust and the personal relationships with my customers.
So safe to say going into year two here, business is going pretty well?
Yeah, thank God everything's going good. We're looking to expand. We have new customers month by month. We have some really cool celebrity rappers reaching out for some custom pieces. I don't want to leak too much, but no, I think it'll be really cool in the upcoming months.
Okay.
So yeah, everything's been good, thank God.
We'll definitely keep a lookout for that. And so do you find most of what you do is more like custom pieces of people coming to you with an idea, or you do just have a stock of jewelry in your store as well that people can come look
at? So we do have stock. Whatever you want, earrings, necklaces, bracelets, those are the day-to-day pieces, the day-to-day transactions. Chains, necklaces, bracelets, whatever you want, we have it, we stock it. We stock 14-carat, 18-carat, 21-carat, 22-carat. Which that's really what's made us very accessible to different markets. So the Arabs, they love their 18 and 21 carat. The Spanish like their big pendants. And everybody has a market. Everybody has a vision for their jewelry. They have their own different tastes. So we just try to satisfy everybody. So if you want to stop in for a small ring or if you want to stop in for a big piece, we can tailor to your needs.
And there's a great value add there too, because there's a repair component as well, right? Like if there's something that, whether you provided it initially or not, it maybe you can't do everything, but there's a lot at least that you're able to handle, you know, in-house directly, whether it's right there on the spot or, you know, come back in a few days type of thing.
Right. So that's one of the biggest things that customers appreciate most. They'll come in for a repair or ring resizing. They'll bring it in at 12 p.m. I'll tell them stop in at 3 p.m. They'll say when in like a week or two. I say no, like today you'll start, you'll have your piece back. So they'll be like super happy. They'll appreciate that a lot. Having same day repairs, worst case scenarios, next day repairs. Of course, it depends on each piece, but 90% of it we can finish same day in-house. We don't have to send anything out, make you wait a week or 2 weeks. That's a big component to our success as well.
So knowing, thinking about that success and knowing what you know now, what would you tell yourself 5 years ago, 6 years ago, 7 years ago, before you even realized you were going to move into the jewelry, let alone running your own business? What would you tell yourself, or maybe even tell others that are interested in whether it's the jewelry business or opening up a small business themselves?
To stay disciplined. I think one of the biggest things that helped me focus in on the store was being disciplined. It could be easy to be distracted, and it's easy to go out and have fun. And I think if you're disciplined, you literally, whether it's jewelry or if you want to start any business, that's most important. That helped me out the most, and I just tried to lock in on that, because I think anybody that really puts their mind and actually tries their hardest, you can't fail. Even if it doesn't work out, there's lessons that you can take from your last experience and grow on that. So that would be my recommendation.
That discipline drives success, I'd say, in this life. And a lack of discipline is very common in our general society. It's not just in business. You know, it's in some of your people's core values and not being able to adhere to them because of the instant gratification that something might give right away.
Right.
And so you can find that.
There's a really cool saying I read, I think a month ago, and I think it plays like perfectly to how I always think. It said, lazy people work a little bit and think they deserve a break. Hard workers work a lot and question if they're working hard enough.
Mm.
I think that's very accurate. You can work a little bit and you can make yourself think that you did enough to deserve a break, but there's somebody out there that's not stopping. That there's somebody out there that's working 16 hours, 18 hours, sleeping for 4 hours, 5 hours, and then waking up to the next challenge, to the next obstacle. I think it's really important to not be comfortable also, especially in the jewelry business. So you can stay, you can keep doing what you're doing, the little videos you do. But if you want to grow, if you want to reach markets that you never thought about reaching, I think you need to have that fire inside of you. And that's really applicable to everything. I've never seen anybody try their best. Like, people search up what's the fastest way to lose weight. For example, you know what you have to do. You need to cut out the junk food. You need to go to the gym, work out. It just comes down to discipline. You know what you have to do. You just have to get it done. And that's like the biggest thing with procrastination. And I talk to you about this all the time. How do you balance life and work? And I think that's one thing that's kind of overthought of. I don't think you really need to balance. I think it's more about priorities. If there's something that needs to be done, it has to be done. And if somebody understands, if your friends get it, they get it. If they don't get it, then you need to surround yourself in a better circle.
Yeah, absolutely right. If you can't change the people around you, you got to change the people around you, right? So another saying that I'm fond of is the easy things are really easy to do, but they're also easy not to do. Discipline, that little go to the gym, the eat the right thing, you know, spend the extra time doing that. It's, you know, easy to take that extra 15 minutes or to make that right choice on the diet, but it's also really easy to just be like, actually, not today, maybe 100%. Tomorrow, and keep pushing it down the line. Any organizations, clubs, or associations that you're involved in outside of the jewelry business that are close to home?
More so like hobbies. 6 months ago, I signed up for Muay Thai, which I never saw myself doing. It's just a great stress reliever. I thought, like, I used to hate going to the gym as well. I used to think, like, 2 years ago, I used to say, oh, my God, I don't know how people say they enjoy going to the gym. And that actually turned on me. Like, I actually look forward to going to the gym. I go to Muay Thai, then the gym right after. It, like, calms me down and just resets my brain. It feels like me time a lot. So I'm at the store 6 days a week. The one day I'm off, I'm at the workshop. So
hustling.
It gives me a break that I need, but I feel like it's always good to step away a little bit, recharge, re-energize, and get back to it the next day.
And we're going to step away here quick, and we're going to come back to talk about how we recharge both our minds and our bodies here in the second part. I'm Lewis Holzman here with Charbel on WDIY 88.1 FM, Lehigh Valley Public Radio. Thanks for tuning in.
Spread the word about your business or organization to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced programs reaches thousands of engaged listeners in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable and effective way to provide information about your product and services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, 610-694-8100 or WDIY.org.
All right, Lewis here with Charbel. We're talking about jewelry. We're talking about exercising your mind. We're talking about exercising your body. We're talking about exercising the discipline to ensure that you have success mentality to push yourself through challenging times, building a work ethic that enables you to build the life you truly want and frankly deserve. So changing up here into a next segment, curious about any types of projects or maybe even some travels that you have coming up. Anything that you're excited about that you're willing to share? I don't want you to unveil anything too soon, but anything coming up that'd be fun to talk about?
So, next month there's a huge Vegas show. It's a jewelry convention one of the biggest in the world that we'll be attending this year.
Yeah, first Vegas, time. I'm sure it's massive.
It's at a really big resort, so I'm really looking forward to that. And there's a couple trips down south in Florida for some delivery videos for some customers coming up.
So what's a delivery video for all? I mean, I think I've seen at least one with the piece for Tyrese that you had mentioned, but paint that picture and maybe we can even add a snippet here into the link.
So a delivery video is more so like a personal delivery from me when it's a piece that I truly, genuinely appreciate the manufacturing that went into it. If it's a customer that we want to highlight and show off, we would set up a studio, whether it's a studio or a production team, to come out with us and hand deliver it to the customer. Sometimes we have different ideas. They'll come into the store or we'll go out and meet them somewhere and personally give it to them. So those usually consist of like, it's almost like a full day shoot. Sometimes in the video, it appears like it's only a couple minutes, but there's a lot of prep that goes into it.
Yeah, you can't put the whole thing on.
Can't put it in, yeah. People will get bored. So we'll put in like the highlights of that shoot and we'll show off to our customers what celebrities or the level of clients we're working with.
Okay. And so then when you go to a show like out in Vegas, what does that show like look like? I'm sure it's a little flashy, honestly.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah.
So honestly, anytime I travel, I always have business cards with me. And I remember 2 weeks ago, we were in Miami and it was a trip. And every time we went out, I was giving out some business cards to anybody I saw rocking jewelry. I'll try to connect to some jewelers down there as well. In Vegas, it consists of both. There's potential customers and there's also meeting new distributors, getting new ideas for the store, new merchandise, whether it's like the flashy hip hop style or it's the day to day rope chains, curb chains, we'll just see what potential there is from there and bring it back home.
And do you find the industry to be very like friendly or more cutthroat? Like you said, you're exchanging with other jewelers. Like, is that like, are people pretty receptive to that? Or are they like, oh, who's this guy trying to like come up on my turf?
So definitely starting off, it was very cutthroat until you build those relationships and that trust. I remember starting off, luckily I had really good references. I had good people to lean back on in the industry. So I can't imagine not having those resources, and just being in there on my own. But I remember how much harder it was to gain that trust. But obviously the more business you do, the more trust there is, the more, leniency there is. But it's definitely a cutthroat business, especially if you're keeping track of the gold price. Recently, with everything going on around the world, gold prices have been skyrocketing. Yeah. So a lot of people say maybe I should wait for gold to come down before buying jewelry, but history repeats itself. Everything, if you look at the chart of gold, it's always spiking up. So I wouldn't always recommend that.
Sure. It's kind of like people saying, oh, well, I want to wait till I buy a house for the prices to come down. It's same like, it doesn't really work like that. if it's working like that, then we have bigger problems on our hands.
Bigger problems. Yeah. Right.
You mentioned it before about balancing career and family and running a business and keeping time for yourself. So like, how do you do that? I think the gym is one of those components, but you said 6 days a week in the shop, one day off. Is there more? I know you're traveling, like, so what does that look like for you?
So the one day off isn't really off. I travel to the workshop, which is 2 hours away each way. So
wow.
That really is like my day off. The 2 hour drive I really enjoy. So like I'll play music, I'll get my piece. What I try to do, and it's kind of seasonal, I'll go to the beach at like 10 p.m. and I'll sit on the beach, I'll stargaze or I'll enjoy the sound of the ocean and I'll just recharge and then come back. I'll have work the next day, but that really lifts my spirit up.
It's really in tune, sinking yourself in like natural elements.
In nature,
sure.
Man, that even if I want to take a hike, that just always opens up my spirit a lot. But I'm not really too big on like finding a balance. I think that's so like overthought of. Like, I think, again, I said it earlier, if you just prioritize what needs to be done, I think that's where stress comes from. Stress is your body telling you that there's something that has to get done that you're not getting done. So if you just initiate it, if you just start it, you'll feel a sense of relief. And that's really been my goal recently, is just to not, if you just focus on like the stress that's been on your mind, getting rid of it by doing or starting what you have to get done, that'll by itself like lift your spirit and make you feel happier.
I really love that, man, because I couldn't agree with you anymore. I know I'm asking that question, but you're getting me to like rethink, like, should I be asking that question?
Because, you know that.
Yeah, no, because it's so true. Like when I'm asked a question like that or of similar, I don't feel like I'm trying to balance between these different like segmented, compartmentalized components of my life. Like it's just my life. It's all things I like to do. Right. It's all pieces that give me fulfillment that I have to just like manage that time and prioritize. You make time for the things that are important for yourself in life, right? So and by doing that, you're able to check off the boxes or get done and be where you got to be and go where you got to go and run the business how you got to run it. Look at your health because that's important. You know, you're in the only body that you're really going to ever get. So definitely noted.
That's one thing I always say. I've heard this somewhere else. Your mind is the only thing you can control. You can't control anything that happens around you. Your mind is the only thing that you actually can control. If you want to wake up and say, "Oh, I feel sad," you're going to feel sad. If you let one thing affect your entire day, you're always going to feel down. You're always going to feel like you're not doing enough. So I think if you really gain control of your mind and you just don't let anything or make it really hard, like raise the bar, raise your tolerance for stress, you'll just do much better off than letting anything really bug you or put you down.
Is there something that you can point back to that you can attribute your success to, and not just the success in business, but your success in the mindset? Because, you know, I got, I don't know, 7 to 10 years on you, somewhere in that vein. And I did rarely come across people that have the similar mindset of myself, let alone that are much, you know, a handful younger than me. So like, where did you start to train your mind with the clean water, if you will, so that you did have healthy habits to be able to build yourself up to the point where you are now? I imagine in a lot of ways surpassing certainly a mindset than a lot of your peers in from an age demographic standpoint.
I think in high school, I wasn't like this at all. And I'm honestly not even nowhere near to what
your
where
potential,
I,
right?
Not just my potential, where I see myself. I don't think I'm perfect in any way. I try to always grow. I think that's one thing that helps me better myself is knowing that it's a consistent obstacle that you have to overcome every day. You can always be better. I can always make my mindset stronger. I can always grow the store more. I can always be a better person. So I think in high school, I don't want to make it sound like one of those stories where, oh, my teacher never believed in me, but I literally experienced that where one teacher said, "Charbel, we'll see where you're at in 5 to 10 years." And that might sound so like cliche or everybody says that, but that truly was one thing that
fire
always stuck with me. And I said, you know what? One day I'll do my best to not be on the path that he visioned for me. So that's one thing that really stuck with me. And I think my parents traveled overseas to have a brighter future for their children. My number one goal is for my mom and my dad to be proud of who I become, who I am. I'm a representation of my last name and of my father and my mom. If I do anything good, it reflects them. If I do anything bad, it reflects them. So they sacrifice their future for ours, and I can never let them down for that. So if I ever think about doing something not smart or not something that they would want me to do, I resort back to that and I say, you know, I'm a representation of my mom and dad. So I would never want anybody to say this kid wasn't raised well. That's like a dagger in my heart. So
sure. Give me goosebumps, man.
Yeah, that's very deep. Touching for me. My mom and my dad. That's who I credit everything for.
Sure. And it's an incredible relationship that you have with them. Also being on the business side now, has that evolved? Not like, I don't know how much or little they are involved like day to day, but when I popped in, I've seen, you know, them there here and there. Like, so like, has that evolved the relationship from a business standpoint, or is it still kind of just like the core component of what it always was? And now it's just like another layer on.
Yeah. So that's one thing that we had to adjust to, honestly. Work is work. Family's family. So when we're at work, we're always having a good time. We're always, but when it's time to work and we make that very clear, you know, each person has their small responsibility that makes up Levant. I know it would be much, much harder to to go about my day at the store and not have my dad, not have my mom. They're a huge part of it, and I'm always looking to recognize them in whatever way I can, because they truly are really special for the day-to-day operations. So it's one thing that we kind of had to get adjusted to, because everybody says working with family is hard, but I've grown an appreciation for it, because I'd rather work with somebody I trust 100% than somebody that I don't really know.
And the business name itself calls back to home, right?
Right. So the Levant region is Syria, Palestine, Lebanon, I believe Iraq. I might be missing one or two regions, one or two countries in that region, but that's the Levant region.
So now, as you've evolved your mindset and the growth trajectory from high school and are here where you're at in business and keeping centered with your family and parents, you know, as that guiding goal, what does that mean to you? Do you feel like that carries a certain type of weight, or that you have to project in a certain type of way? Or is that something that's like not necessarily even on the radar and mindset, and it's just pushing forward what your core goals are, and it's a byproduct?
Honestly, I think I'm being myself. I'm not trying to force this mentality on anybody. I'm not trying to. I'm very appreciative to every customer. Every single person that comes in the store, I always greet them very respectfully, and I always try to build a relationship with them. For the young Valley leaders, I always respect. Like, I feel like you can always take something from each person. I'll watch back the episodes of this podcast, and I'll see different business owners talk about their challenges and their obstacles they overcame. So that's one thing that I love to be a sponge, and whichever information I can try to put out, somebody has a question about anything, I'd love to help. And I always like to be a learning sponge. I want to pick your brain. I want to pick anybody's brain that I feel like could help me out and form me to be a better person too.
So how can people find you? We're going to wrap up soon here. Any way that people can either get in touch with you or in touch with the business?
So we're on Instagram at Levant Jewelers. We have a TikTok page also. They're all under Levant Jewelers. If you want to reach out to the store, we're located on 7th Street at the new Hive building between, I believe it's Chu and...
Linden and Hamilton.
Is it Linden and Hamilton? Or yeah. I think it's Chu and...
No, it's Turner. I'm sorry. Turner and Linden.
And Linden.
Yeah, 7th Turner. Turner and Linden.
Right.
Yeah,
so you can stop into the store at any time. We're open Tuesdays through Sundays. And you can reach out through email, by the website, on Instagram, any form.
Any final comments, words of strength, encouragement?
I would say to any advice to anybody looking to start something is to work when you're not motivated. I think it's easy to put on a motivational video and get inspired for 2 weeks, but try to lock in on what truly matters to you, and work even when you're not motivated, work when you're down. And I just want to thank everybody for trusting Levant Jewelers as well, trusting me, building that amazing relationship with me. I truly appreciate all my customers, man, and they're the reason why we're growing, and I'm just genuinely appreciative to everyone.
Well, the authenticity certainly bleeds out in how you carry yourself and the conversation here today. So again, really thank you for taking the time.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, man, for sure. That about does it here. Episode 17 in the books of Young Valley Leaders here. Big thanks to you, Charbel, for taking the time to bring us valuable insights into your life, the jewelry business, small business, entrepreneurship, and some of the challenges that success in the mind really do present as you start to build yourself up and grow year over year, week over week, day over day, because that's what's important. Small steps forward, day 1%. Over day. 1% each day. You can find the show airing monthly on WDIY 88.1 FM on the second Monday of every month at 6:30 p.m. and then forever online on WDIY 88.1 FM's website, as well as Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and of course, WDIY's YouTube and social media channels. Lastly, here, a big shout out to a few people making this program come to life. Lauren Matthews with the Young Valley Leaders brand, making the visual aesthetics awesome. Matt Cajun is live and in studio, as always, behind the camera, making us look very polished. James, Seamus, and all the good folks here at WDIY, giving us the time and space, allowing the energy for this show to come alive. I'm Louis Holzman, your host of Young Valley Leaders on WDIY 88.1 FM, Lehigh Valley Public Radio. Thanks for tuning in.
And until next month.